Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, taking a look at the third Mishnah in the second parak, again continuing with the issue of the king. The Torah says, Lo Yarbelo Nashim, he may not have a surplus of wives. So the Mishnah says, Ela Shmona Asrei, 18 is his limit, we'll see where that comes from. Yuro Mer, Marbehulo, he can have more. As long as they do not turn his heart away from serving Hashem. The Torah says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu achat mesirat libo. Even if he has only one who turns his heart away, he can't marry her. So why does it say a lot, which we interpret to be 18, or perhaps another number? Tafilu kavigayel, even if there's 18 saintly, pious women. That's his cap. Now, the Gemara immediately addresses the seeming turnaround in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon's orientation towards interpretation. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda darish time dekra, Rabbi Shimon darish time dekra. Are we going to posit that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who interprets the meaning of the text, the intent of the mitzvah, and applies the mitzvah appropriately, and Rabbi Shimon ignores it? We know the opposite. Tanya, it's a famous sugya at the end of Bava Metzia. Almana ben shi'aniya ben shi'ashira. Whether the Torah says lo tachvod began almana, you cannot take the garment of an almana, of a widow, as collateral. So Rabbi Yehuda says you cannot do it whether she's rich or poor. In mashkinota shenamar lo tachvod began almana divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rishimon omer ashira mashkinota, a rich one you could take collateral from a rich one. Only a poor one not. Why? Here's the reason. You have to return the beged, as is the din of collateral. You have to return it to her every evening if it's her night garment. Or if it's her day garment, you have to return it in the morning. Either way, she's a single woman, she's a widow, and you're going there every day to return the garments. People are going to start talking. Rina and my Marson, we explained, what does Rabbi Shimon mean? Hachi kamar, mitoch shata mashkanat achayav lachzirla, since you take collateral, you have to return it. V'yata mesi Hashem rabbi shchenotea, and then you're going to give a bad rumor. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, if she's rich, which you don't have to return it every day, there's no problem. Amar b'yudol adarish time edekra, b'yudol says, the Torah forbade it. And I'm not going to start looking into why the Torah forbade it. If the Torah doesn't tell me, say, oh, it must be because the almon is poor, etc., therefore every almona. Rishimon darish time in a crab. Rishimon says, no, I know the reason. The reason is because she's poor, etc. And for only applies to poor women. The answer is, Be'alma Rabbi Yehuda darish time in a crab. Rabbi Yehuda generally does not take that approach. V'shani achon farish time in a crab. But here the Torah says, Dekara matam lebel anashim yishun le'asur levavo. He can't marry a lot of women, so his heart doesn't go astray. So therefore, he says, therefore it must be that you may not have 18 as long as they're not mesirat libo. But if there's more, but they're all pious, that's okay. For Rabbi Shimon Amar Lecha, is what Rabbi Shimon's answer would be, Mechti ba'alma darshin in time of the cross, since normally we are darish time in the cross. Meaning, had the Torah not said velo yesur levavo, I would have known that was the reason anyways. Im kein lichtov kra lo yabal anashim v'lishtok, so let the Torah just say, you can't have a lot of wives. V'anamina ma'atam lo yabem shum v'lashur, I would understand the reason is because they're going to turn his heart away. Lo yasur lamali, why does the Torah add lo yasur? Even if there's only one, meaning the Torah says he shouldn't have a lot of wives, lest his heart be turned away, so therefore if there's even one who turns his heart away, that's bad enough. So what's loyabelo? Even if they're pious, nonetheless, 18 wives is the cap. Okay, where do these 18 come from? So at the beginning of David's Melucha in Hebron, we read about him having six wives, and each has six children, and we hear about them. So far he's got, he's Achinoam and Abigail. And by the way, those are the two wives that are listed with David throughout his travels. First is Achinoam, and then Abigail joins him after the story of Naval. And that's who joins him through the travels, with his band, until now. Ashlishi Avshalom ben Ma'acha, we're going to get back to who Ma'acha was a little bit. Ravia Adonia ben Chagit, Vachamishi Shvatia ben Avital, Shishi Yitra'am le'egla eshet David. Eli yodu le'David v'chevron, so he has six. V'ka'amar le'navin, what did the Navi say to him after the story of Bathsheba? If you don't have enough, I will add to you like these and like these. So what's the answer? Kahena sheet is another six. V'chahena sheet, another six. Six that you have. V'chahena v'chahena, so six and six, it's 18. Avalatam, I'm sorry. Matkiv to Ravina, so Ravina says, why doesn't it get exponential? Ema kahena tarte sari. V'chahena sin v'arba. In other words, I'll add another six to this, plus I'll add another 12 to those, make a 24. So Tanya Miachi, Lama Anoshim, Yotam Yasim V'arba. We have a bright of actually, it goes that way. Laman de Dorish Vav, or by Mishmona Havu. Kahena Vechahena, so then we would double it based on the Vav to 48. Miachi, Lama Anoshim, Yotam Yabi Mishmona. We each have a bright of like that. So we have a bright of 18, we have a bright of 24, we have a bright of 48. The bright is the Mishnah. Tandan Maitame, why does our Tana minimize? Amarav Kahana, Makish Kahena Batra, the Kahena Kama. Because it's kahena v'chahena, equating the two. Just like the first two, kahena is six. Sheit afkana batra six. Okay. V'ahavai michal. But how do you have six? You count those women, plus there's michal, who a couple daf earlier we dealt with as really being a legitimate wife of David. Meaning, and never divorced. So the answer is, lo yalav amarav eglazu michal. And we said Yitra'am was born to egla. Egla is a reference to michal. V'amenikashma egla shachadma alav ke egla. He loved her like his pet calf. Where do we find such a phrasing in Tanakh? Chaynu Omer, Lecharshtem Beglati, Lomitzatem Chidati. Shimshon says back to the 30 men who solved his riddle through coercion at the wedding in Timna, he said, had you not plowed with my calf, because they forced his wife to give away the answer, you would not have found the solution to the riddle. So you see that Egla is a sort of a pet term in those days for a wife. But wait a second, you just listed six sons born of David, each of one of them born from one of the wives, and one of them from Egla, who you're saying is Michal. But since when did Michal have kids? V'aktiv, at the end of the story of David bringing the Aron to Shalayim, when David is dancing and really celebrating in a rapturous way in front of the Aron, and Michal degrades him and makes fun of him for that, and the curse was that you would never have any kids. It says, she never had a kid. So v'chista ad yomotah lo hayala, b'yomotah yala. What it means, ad yomotah, means until the day of her death. She had a kid, and she died in childbirth. All right, so that's one approach to it. Mechti bonim heichako chashiv lohu. Wait a second. Let's go back to the text. The text lists six sons in Hebron. But the story of Michal happened after David had moved to Yerushalayim, after the 7.5 years in Hebron. And that's where the story happened in Yerushalayim. And it says at that point, from that point on, Michal never had kids. She looked through down the window and she saw David dancing and she degraded him in her heart. Shekalta Michal Mitrafasa. That Michal at that point took her punishment, and so the read now is that Michal was punished in Yerushalayim, that she would not again have children, but she had the children beforehand, and that's this Yitra'am, possibly. Okay, now we go back to Ela Ema Ad Oto Maaseh Hayala. We come back to Elachol Hayala. Av Aktivi Aikach David Od Pilak Shim Venashim Birushalayim. So it says that David came and married concubines and women in Yerushalayim, married wives in Yerushalayim, and that's after Hebron, and that's before the story of Batsheva, Limluye Shmonasar. So that is the 18. That's where you get to the 18. Okay, now my nashim and my pilakshim. Now, just parenthetically, what's the difference in a wife and a concubine? If you want to arrive, nashim miktuba v'kiddushin. Nashim, there's proper ketubah, and there's proper kiddushin. Pilakshim, below ketubah v'lo kiddushin. There are some girsot that read, below ketubah uva kiddushin. But most read like this, that a pilegash, a concubine, does not have the guarantee of a ketubah, and there's also no kiddushin. She's a common-law wife. Rav, Arbamiot Iladim Hayu Lo David. He had 400 sons, Chulan Bnei Yifat Tor Hayu, meaning that all of the women he married who had kids were Yifat Tor. That, of course, does not work with the whole Michal idea. Umegadle Bluriot Hayu, and they were all people who grew their hair. This is a little bit anachronistic because it's describing a Roman legionnaire's haircut, the special kind of hairdo. Chulan Yoshvot B'Kronon Shel Zahav. They used to sit on gold chairs. Malchin Barashay Gayasotayu, they leave the army. They were the tough guys of Beit David. That's the 400 sons that we hear about David having. Of course, the famous ones aren't mentioned in that group. Now we go to the story of Amnon and Tamar, the tragedy of Amnon and Tamar. You should read Perek Yud Gimel Yodalad and Shmuel Bet to see the story. Tamar bat Yifat Torah haita, meaning that Tamar, who was the sister of Avshalom, was, who therefore should have been a sister to Amnon, who raped her, really wasn't a sister to him, and therefore, theoretically, she could have married him, and that's the underlying pin of the story. When Amnon is about to rape Tamar, she says, just talk to the king, and he won't keep me from you, he'll let you marry me, but do it right away, the right way. If you think she was really somebody who could marry him, meaning in general she's somebody who would get married, since when she could marry your brother, meaning that David had relations with her mother, who's bat Talmi Melech Kishur, and that was before, when captured in war, and before she converted, and then after she converted, she had Avshalom with him. Well, Amnon Re'o Shmo Yonadav. Now we hear a little bit of the story of Yonadav, who is Amnon's cousin and friend, who gives him the advice of how he gets Tamar alone. Shechav Mishkav Chavit Chal. We hear this very wise. What's his wisdom? He's smart about doing evil. Why are you always looking so upset? So he says to him that I'm in love with Tamar, and he says, here's your deal. Go lie in bed, pretend that you're sick, and go demand that Tamar come and cook this this pashtida or whatever it is in your presence. She brought a form of Yumarav, Sha'astalo Mine Tigun, she fried stuff. And then after he raped her, famously, he hated her more than he had loved her before. My time, Yitzchak, so instead of saying that it's the emotional thing, something happened during their encounter that upset him. Niman Nikshiralo, that there was a hair that got in the way. Rastaokru Chofchan, and actually cut him and cut the vast deference. So that's not her fault. Why does he hate her? That she actually did it on purpose. He hated her because she effectively castrated him. That Yechezkel says to Yisrael, the name will go out in the nations about your beauty. What's that beauty? That beauty is that Pnoi Yisrael do not have hair down there. So Shani Tamar, the Vatifa Torah Havi, now comes back and says, yeah, but she's really from a non-Jewish family. Vatikav Tamar Efer Al-Rosham, Rektonat HaPasim Asher Allah Hakara, Allah Hakara, she put ashes on her head and she tore her long garment, Rektonat HaPasim, that all the princesses wore. Tanashur Rishuvan Korcha, Geder Gadol Gadra Tamar Botasha'a. What did she do? She made a very big, important fence at that point. What was the fence? Amru Livnot Malachim Kach, this is how the princes are treated. Simple girls are certainly treated worse. Even Snorkach, and I'm a modest girl. Those who aren't so modest certainly get treated worse. So at that point, they made the gzeira of men and women not being alone in seclusion because of this story. Viala Pnuya, what does that mean? So Yichud, Doraitahu. We know that the Yisur of Yichud is Doraita. The Amr of Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yehud Tzadak. Remez the Yichud ben Atar Minayin. So Remez, so it's not fully Doraita, but it's not Nigzar at this point. Shemar ki Tzlitcha Achicha Veni Mecha. In the context of Mesit, in the beginning of Parshat Re'eh, middle Parshat Re'eh, says if your brother who is the son of your mother seduces you, why does it say Veni Mecha? V'chi Ben Ein Mesit Ben Av Eino Mesit? Is to say that a son, it's alluding to that a son could be alone with his mother, and that's the only male and female privacy or seclusion that's allowed. But no other eravas can be together. In other words, not yichud vipnuya. They were gozer on being alone with a girl who's not married, and therefore is not an erva to you. And because of this story. Anyways, later on, the story at the beginning of Malachim, that Adoniyahu, David is on his sickbed, and Adoniyahu says, I'm going to take over, and he has a little coronation for himself. Meaning he wanted to take the crown. It didn't work. It didn't fit him. He made a chariot with 50 men running in front of it. My revuto, what's the chiddush? A lot of rich people do stuff like that. Rav, kulanu tu leit chol. Chakukei kapot raglaim ayu. It's a very strange thing. The idea is that they had had their spleen removed, and they had something on their legs, something in effect that made them very, very fast runners. And that's why these guys are so special, and they're mentioned distinctly. Okay, the second part the third part of Mishnah Dalet, the end of Mishnah Dalet, deals with other prohibitions involving the king. The Torah says he can't have too many wives. We dealt with that. Loyer belo susim, and then the Mishnah then says elakadei merkav to. He has as many as he needs for his chariots. The chesav is zahav loyer belo miyot. He can't have a lot of fortune. Elakadei the tenasfanya. All he needs is to pay the army. That's how much he has. And then the Torah obligates him to write a Sefer Torah. Chotev lo Sefer Torah lishmo. Yotzei l'machama motziayimo. When he goes out to war, he takes the Sefer Torah with him. Nichnasu machisayimo. Brings it back with him. Yoshev bedin hiimo. When he sits in judgment. We'll have to see what that means, because we saw Melech lo dan. May save hikanekdo. When he's sitting at a meal, it's right there. Shnemar v'itayimo v'arakar v'okoli mechayav. It should be with him all the time. Now, Tana Rabbanan, let's go back to the Susim. Lawyer Belos Hussein, Mechola Filukadei Mirkov Toa Farashav, maybe he can't even have enough for his riders and his chariots. Tamul Amar, Lo. Lawyer Belo, meaning Lo Enomar Belmar Behu Kaderich Bo Farashav, meaning he cannot add just for glory for himself, but for his real needs he can have. Hamani Mekayim Susim, so why does the Torah say Susim? Susim about Manim. He's not allowed to have Susim that are just there, trophy horses. How do I know if he even has one trophy horse? That's lo yabeh. Lamar leman harbot sus, that he should not take the nation back to Egypt in order to have more sus. Meaning it means susim, but they put it in lashon yachid to say even one is a violation. But now that if you have even just one horse, that's already a violation of lo yabeh. Susim lamali, what does Torah say? Susim lavor belota seal kol sus vasus. When you eat sus, it's not just that you've gone one over, and then you may as well have as many as you want. Each one is a lotase. Now, tam nechatav rachman alo halav hachi avemin afilu kederich bo farashav namilo. If the Torah hadn't said lo yarbel lo susim, it just said lo yarbel susim, I might have thought that he can't even have for his chariots. So lo tzricha lafushe means, what it means is like he can't have too many, even if they're working. We said in the parallel thing about the money that he can only have enough money to pay off his army. I might even think that he can't have enough to pay his army. That you're allowed to have. So again, same problem. So if the Torah hadn't said lo, I would have thought he can't even pay his army. So lo tzricha laharvacha, he can't try to have too much, even if it's for the army. So now that we said lo kesef zav lo yabelo, lo yabelo susim, each one of those is a drasha saying if for other needs he can have, just for himself he can't have. So lo yabelo nashim adarshim. What are you going to do with nashim? The answer is lemutei hedyotot, to say that he's the only one who's limited. A regular person can have as many wives as he can afford, emotionally and financially, etc. Okay, back to the issue of the horses. Rabbi Yehuda Rami, he found a contradiction. K'tiv, ayhi lishlomo arba'im elef urvot susim. He had 40,000, and this whole piece is going to be a rebuke of Shlomo. 40,000 stables. K'tiv, ayhi lishlomo arba'at alafim urvot or ayot susim. He had 4,000. Is it 40,000 or 4,000? So if there were 40,000 stalls, so if there's 4,000 barns, it's 40,000 stalls. If it's the opposite, so either way, it's going to be 40,000 times 4,000, which comes out to 16 million horses. Okay, Rabbi Yitzchak Rami, Ktiv, and Kesef Nechshav Meshlom Alumuma, in Divrei Hayom, it says that money was just not considered at all worth anything. It was so plentiful. Ktiv, Aitem Somot HaKesef V'Shalom Kavanim, In Malachim, it says Shlomo gave out kesef like rocks. In other words, they had some value. Meaning, there was some value to money. It wasn't that everybody was in the streets of painted gold. Lokasha, kan konosh nasa shlomo bat paro, kan lacharsh nasa shlomo bat paro. After he made bat paro, it went down a little bit. Rabbi Yitzchak, vishash nasa shlomo bat paro, yorad gavriel manatz kane bayam. It's very interesting, Agadah. When Shlomo married bat paro, Gavriel came down and put a stick in the sea. Ve'alas sirton, it grew a little bit. Ve'alam nimna krach shol gadol shabaromi. That's where Rome's peninsula, Italy's peninsula came from. Rabbi Yitzchak, ne'malon galuta me Torah. So why did the Torah not explain its own reasoning for things? Two mitzvot in the Torah, where the Torah gave the reason, and a great person blew it as a result. The Torah says, can't have too many wives, because it might lead you astray. Shlomo said, I could have wives and not be led astray. It says, when Shlomo was old, his wives had turned his heart away, and he started doing Avodah Zarah. I'll have a lot of susim and not go back to Mitzrayim. That he went to Mitzrayim and bought a bunch more horses. So Shlomo thought he was above the law and he was able to violate the letter of the law and not end up in the trap the law said you'd fall into, and it didn't work. Chotev Sefer Torah Lishmo. The next part of the Mishnah says that he writes a Sefer Torah. Tanovad Shalei Na'eh B'Shal Avotav. He can't use his ancestors. He has to write his own. Rambam says every man has to write his own Sefer Torah. I see the Shagas Aryeh on this, why many rely on Sfarim today. But it's a mitzvah to write your own. Torah says you have to write the Shira. Right? So if that's the case, then Eitiv Rabbayim Chotev Lo Sefer Torah Lishmo Shlun Emshal Achirim. So Malachin had Yodoh, and the Mishnah implies that only a king has to write his own Sefer Torah, not a regular person. So Lo Tzricha L'Shtei Torot, the answer is the Kohen has to write two. The Melech has to write two. Chetanu Chatav Lo Et Mishnei Torah, Kotev L'Shmo Shtei Torot, the Brayta explicitly says he writes two. Achat Sheyotzev Nechazdimo, the one goes out with him, and out and back with him, he keeps it with him. Achat Shemnachat Lovei Gnazav, the other one is kept in his treasure house. Achat Sheyotzev Nechazdimo, he goes out with him, and he keeps with him. He ties on. We have a girso, tzerotakumi kamiya, v'tolebez ro'o, tzera shiviti adunai negdi tamid, kini balamot. Eino nichnas ba lovet merchatz v'avidik kisei. But of course, he doesn't take them into places that where Torah can't be, like a place where you're naked, a bedakisei. V'ray time over karavo, makom arui likrot po. Meaning you keep it with you only in places where you could read it. We're going to have a little interesting tangent here about the Sefer Torah. The Torah was originally given in Paleo Hebrew and in Lashon HaKodesh. Whatever this may mean, it was given to them again in the times of Ezra in Aramaic script and in Aramaic language. Am Yisrael ended up choosing the Aramaic script, but Lashon HaKodesh. And they left for regular people, for mundane purposes, Paleo Hebrew, which could, by the way, continue to be used till the turn of the millennium, at least for some formal documents, and Aramaic. Now, man hedyotot, who are the hedyotot? Machista kutai, the Shomronim. And by the way, the Shomronim do use Ktav Ivri, or something similar. My Ktav Ivrit, what's it called? Amarav chista Ktav Libuna'a. And that's what we have as Paleo. Ezra should have been the one to be able to give the Torah to Israel. And Malachim Moshe, if Moshe hadn't come along, who was also deserving beforehand. How do I know that Moshe and Ezra are related? Moshe Omer Va Moshe Allah El Halim. Moshe went up to God. Ezra Hu Omer Hu Ezra Allah Mi Bavel. He went up from Bavel. Mal Yamur Bekan Torah, just like Moshe's Aliyah was to get the Torah. Afaliyah Mur Lahalan Torah. Similarly, Ezra's Aliyah from Bavel was to get the Torah. Moshe Omer, Hashem commanded me to teach you laws. Ezra Omer, Ezra prepared his heart in order to learn Hashem's Torah and teach it to the people. Same thing. Even though Ezra did not merit have the Torah being given through him, but the script was changed through him. Shinemar, this new ktav. Uchtiv lo kalen kadva lemikra pishra lohoda lemalka, not like the old way that they wrote. Uchtiv achatav mishnei Torah hazot, meaning ktav ha'ruy lishtanot. It's a drasha that Torah is called mishnei Torah, meaning a text that is going to be changed. Now, lamini krash ashurit, so why is an Aramaic script called ashurit? Sha'alayim ma'am me'ashur, that they brought it from Assyria when they came back, Assyria here being a nickname for Bavel. Tanya Rebbe Omer, Nitchilav Ktav Zen Natural Yisrael. Rebbe says something which is very hard to substantiate historically, archaeologically, but he says that originally the Torah was given in Aramaic script. Kevan Shechatun Apachlan L'Roitz. Then it was changed to this other kind of script. Kevan Shechazur Bahenach Zeru Lahem. When they did Shuva, Hashem gave them back the proper script, which is the one we have. Shemar Shuva Levitzaron Asirei Toda. Magid Mishneh Ashiv Lach. So I'm going to return to you the Magid Mishneh, allusion to Mishneh Torah. So why is it called Ashurit? Shem Usher Biktav. It's a beautiful Ktav. Shem Alazor Mishmer Belazor Parta. Shem Mishmer Belazor Modai. Ktav Zev Lo Nishtane Kol Ikar. The text, the script has never changed. Shem Vaveha Amudim. The Torah describes the hooks of the pillars of the Chatzer as Vaveha Amudim. Ma'amudim lo ishtanu, af vavim lo ishtanu. So the Gemara is playing with the word vav, which means a hook, to also have it mean the letter vav. Just like the pillars never changed, so the vav's never changed. V'yomer, v'al yudim kichtavam v'chol shoram. Ma'al shoram lo ishtanu, af kavam lo ishtanu. The script and the language are compared here, just like the language didn't change, the script didn't change. Ma'adu v'kayim in Mishneh Torah, so why is the Torah called Mishneh Torah? L'shtei Torot. Not a text that will change in its script, but rather two Torot. And that's what we saw, that he has two. One that he puts in his treasure house, the other one stays with him all the time. This is the piece we saw earlier, but now it's properly here. The one that goes out with him, he makes it like a kamea, like an amulet. Toleb Yisro, he hangs it on his arm. Shemar Vait Shiviti Adonai Negdi Tamid. He's keeping God in front of him all the time. So what does the other one say about Shiviti if the other one says that he only writes one Sefer Torah and Mishneh is therefore something else? Ahumi Bailekir of Rachana Bar Biznam, Rachana Bar Biznam, Vishimar Hasir, and Palazzo Shir Etzmo Ki Ilushkina Kenegdo. Shiviti Hashem Negdi Tamid is not about Sefer Torah, it's about davening. When you daven, you have to pretend as if, imagine as if the Shechina is facing you. Shinemar Shiviti Adonai Negdi Tamid. Rabbi Shimon Amar Ktav Zeh Lo Nishtaneh Mai, but according to Rabbi Shimon, who says the text never changed, what are you going to do? Lo Kalein Ktav Al Mikra. So what do you do with this Pasuk in Daniel that says that they are writing differently? Rabbi Gimatria Ichtov Lahon. They wrote them a secret message using a Gimatria or some other code. And what he wrote was yatet yatet idach pug chamat. By the way, gematria here means the atbash. It's not a gematria we generally learn, but rather an atbash. All right. So what's a yod? In a yod is a mem. All right. What's a tet? A tet is nun, and a taf is an aleph. So mana mana. Right. My parslu mana mana takel parsin. Mana, mana Elohim machutach, v'ashlam takel tkalta b'mosna v'shtakhat chasir. He said so. He was saying to him in a inverted cipher, which is the Atbash, that that mene mene takel parsin, count and weigh out, and you'll see parsin. What does parsin mean? Prisat machutach v'ivad hirat l'madai paras. Your kingdom is going to be taken away. There's Daniel's nevuah given to Nebuchadnezzar and be given to Madai paras. Ushmuel amar mimatos ninkefi alaran. That was what he said. Rabbi Yochanan amar annam anigam. It's different ways. You can see in the Gemara as they have a chart of how to read this. Lakat nisrafu. Hashem amar nama nama katal parsin. These are all different codes that end up saying mene mene takal parsin with the appropriate drasha. Okay, we'll stop at this point and pick it up with the last podcast on Second Parak. Emir Tz Hashem. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.